Log Talk Radio.
All right.
Log Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Nation Billing Network. Tonight's topic is Nation Billing Presents Marriage and Faith. Your host is Sister Gidget. What's up, Sister Gidget? Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam, DJ Black Caesar. And I would like to extend an assalamu alaikum to our distinguished panelists as well as our listening audience. How are you tonight, DJ Black Caesar?
I am doing swell, man. The day has been pleasant. How about yourself?
Oh, praise be to Allah. I'm here. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, And I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you who have chosen to call us on the telephone, and those of you who are joining us in the chat room, as well as my distinguished panelists and my engineer. And I greet in words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you, Queen. And it is my distinct honor and pleasure to have with us all the way from my, I call it my region, the Southwest region, student minister Willie Muhammad and his beautiful queen and wife, Sister Michelle Muhammad. So I'm going to ask student minister Willie to come down front and center, soldier, and introduce yourself, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. And first of all, I want to thank you and your DJ for the Black Caesar for extending the invitation out to myself and my lovely wife on your show. And basically, I'm a New Orleans native, and I've been serving in the position of student minister in the city of New Orleans since about 2002.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Sister Queen Michelle Muhammad, you
yes,
want to come down front and center, introduce yourself, Queen?
Yes, ma'am. I am Sister Michelle Muhammad. I'm a native New Orleanian, and I have been in the mosque here in the city of New Orleans since 1990.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, now, you know, I'm originally from the West Coast, and when I moved to Texas back in the 70s, they pronounced the city as Nawlins. So, you know, me, I'm coming from the West Coast. I'm like, New Orleans? And they was like, where is that? So is it Nawlins or what's the correct pronunciation, the down-home pronunciation of it?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Okay.
New Orleans. Or whatever part of the city is from.
Somebody that lived there, I wanted to hear, because, you know, people all over the country got their way, but I wanted to hear from someone who lives there and knows, okay, New Orleans. I'll try to get that.
Some people say New Orleans. Some people say New Orleans. And some people say New Orleans.
Oh,
it varies.
Okay, well, you know, when my mother's people from East Texas, they said Nawlins. So it's like, okay. But anyway, it is our distinct honor to have you with us, Student Minister Willie. And as I had informed you during our conversation, that of course I was referred to you by our beloved brother Hakeem Rashid Muhammad of Mosque Number 45, and he said that you are a profound teacher on relationships. And as you know, there are so many of us inside the nation and outside of the nation of Islam that are suffering in our marriages, that are suffering while being single. And sometimes we get into relationships, we get into it for the wrong reasons, we use the wrong approach. There are just so many variations that are causing our families to split up and causing divorce in our marriages today. And I was reading an article, I was asked to write an article, and I was referencing one of Minister Farrakhan's articles where he stated that, you know, the family is like the core of a nation, and that family begins with marriage. And so, you know, I want to encourage the believers to, you know, hang in there. I don't want my sisters in particularly to become discouraged, because I'm 47. I'm not married. I'm not really looking to get married. But there are so many of us who are looking for second or third marriages, and they are very discouraged. There are so many brothers who feel that they don't, you know, qualified to be husbands and vice versa. So, Brother Student Minister, I'm going to ask you, and of course I'm going to ask Sister Michelle, how does an FOI in particularly prepare for marriage?
Right. Well, you know, like they say, experience is the best teacher. So I'm going to speak from how I prepared. And one of the things, what I did, several things I did was, one, I determined in my mind that I wanted to marry someone from amongst the MGT class. So that's the first thing that I did. I had that mind where I wanted a sister from out of the MGT. The second thing is I began to study, listen, and try to get my hands on every lecture that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did on marriage, single being single, what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote about marriage, wrote about courtship, and I began to just read and listen to them religiously. Then I sought the advice of those in my circles, in the mosque, or outside the mosque, who I had successful marriage, even those who may have not had successful marriage, and I became a student of their experiences because I learned from their mistakes or I learned from their success. Then what I did was and reflected on all of the relationships that I was involved in prior to the Nation of Islam. And I on a piece of paper, everything, I wrote down what caused each relationship to go south or to fail. But then I also wrote down what was my role in the effect of that relationship. And then as I found what was my role in the failure of the relationship, I looked at myself and saw and to analyze and see if I had any of those qualities still in me. Because if it caused past relationships to fail and I haven't gotten rid of those qualities, if I bring them into the future or the present, then most likely the same outcome is going to take place. And the last thing, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that when you want to bring take on that responsibility in your life, that's a responsibility and that's a duty. So I began to do the things that were necessary to put myself in a position where I can be a provider, be a maintainer, and to be a protector.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Okay, Brother Will, I don't know. Are you talking on speakerphone?
No, ma'am, I'm not.
Or do you have your computer on?
Yes.
Okay, if you can mute it because we're getting the feedback from your computer because you were kind of going in and out, but we heard you clearly, but I want to make sure that your sound is not distorted when the show is recorded. But, yes, sir, thank you for that. And Sister Michelle, and especially, oh, wow, especially with us women, you know, being the creatures that we are, can you tell me how did you prepare to be married?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, first of all, I was in the nation probably 10 years before I got married. And I know sometimes it gets pretty rough, you know, during that phase of being alone. But one of the things I began to do was to appreciate being by myself. I took the time to get to know who I was and what I wanted out of life. I set goals for myself. During my time of waiting for a mate, I decided I wasn't going to be miserable, that I would make myself happy. I went back to school. I got another degree. I traveled. I enjoyed myself. I worked on my consciousness. I worked on those qualities that I wanted in a mate. I decided that I would work on those qualities in myself so I could attract them in someone else. And I took my time and I jotted down a list of all the qualities that I wanted in my mate. Oftentimes, I think as women, we want somebody who is going to, rescue us and take care of us. And I decided that I would develop the qualities in myself that I wanted, and that I would bring those qualities to a marriage. And so when I met my husband, I pulled out my list of qualities that I had. And so, of course, he manifested not all of them, because all of them weren't necessary, but the most important thing, like integrity, wanting an MGT, service to the community, dedication to the nation, those things I found were very admirable and very attractive in my husband.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And so, Brother Willie, you know, a lot of the brothers struggle, and I've done many of these shows. We've done over 200 and something shows, and I try to stay away from relationships because sometimes it's a very sensitive area for some. And I personally believe that a lot of the brothers that I've spoken with, and so I'm certainly not speaking about all of the FOI, but all of the brothers that I've spoken with, most of them have said that they have a problem with qualifying to be a husband, and it always, almost always, resort back to the finances. So I'm going to ask you, Brother Willie, what are the most important things that a FOI has to have in place before he even considers courtship or marriage?
You know, first I will say this, and it ties into the question. First, brothers need to be honest, because sometimes we hear brothers use that excuse and say that they don't feel like they're qualified, but then it comes out that they're messing with all of these other sisters outside of the nation. So, you know, we have to really be honest. You know, I've talked to brothers, and some of them say, well, I'm not interested in courting a sister who's from a different city because I can't get to know them. But then it comes out, find out that you're engaged in internet conversations with people who live even outside of the country. So let's be honest. You know, when a man wants something, he's going to move hell. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to get it, to make it happen. When I first started courting, my wife didn't have a lot of finances, and that was one of the things that I made sure that I, you know, when we went to the courtship, that I let her know. However, I knew I had a means to provide somewhat of a living for her, but then I went to work. So brothers can't use that as an excuse, because we use that as an excuse, but then we see you at the mosque and you got $200-$300 pair of shoes on, $500 suit on. So make sure you're spending your money. You know, it's like what the minister said, men of this world don't want righteous women. So I'm going to say that on that part. But in regards to having that marriage mindset, is that one, as brothers, we have to see marriage as Allah sees marriage, which is seeing it as being sacred. And two, we also have to have a realistic view of marriage. Don't come in with, you know, I found myself in my self-analysis that I took, that I found myself that a lot of the expectations and views that I had of marriage was not shaped by Allah and the word of God, shaped by the word. That had to rid myself of those unrealistic views, right? And also, when we enter marriage, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan used the analogy, we need to have the mindset of a sailor. See, a sailor, as the minister says, when he gets on the boat, he doesn't get on that boat or that ship thinking that it's going to just be smooth sailing throughout his endeavor. He understands that there's going to be some rough water, there's going to be some real rough water, and sometimes there's going to be some pleasurable moments on that ship. But you have to have the mindset of a sailor. He does not get on the ship with the mindset that when it gets rough, I'm going to leave. We also have to be rooted in God. And we also need to really understand our role. So during this time where we are single, you know, we are taught that when Allah first self-created himself, he took a period where he began to study himself. So we need to study ourselves while we're single, study what our role is, and then begin to start getting the knowledge that we need that will help us facilitate carrying out our particular role.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Brother Willie, so you're saying that a lot of the brothers are, okay, when you say that they don't want a righteous woman, and I know that that is spiritually rooted also, it's on another realm. It's not just, you know, particular brothers. It's just that, is it that the temptation is so great because I'm asking because I know a lot of sisters say, well, you know, I'm an MGT and I cover my head and I'm not dressed provocatively, and then, you know, these are the women that the brothers are gravitating to, you know, on the side or in the dark or whatever. And so that speaks to a lot of our conditioning by our open enemy, of course, through slavery and through all the things that we've been exposed to. However, when you say that brothers use an excuse, is it fear of failure? Is it easier to not desire a righteous woman because of the level of duty that comes along with that?
And let me say this. Of course, we're not talking about all brothers, so we know that. However, it can be a number of things. It can be fear. It can be a lack of faith. Or it can be not really, it can be spending too much time professing the principles that we are taught about our ability, but not implementing them. You know, if we follow these principles that we're being taught in our classes and what Yahweh Messiah Louis Farrakhan is teaching us, that will help us prepare ourselves to be married and to prepare ourselves to develop a trade, develop a profession, or whatever it may be, we can put ourselves in those positions. And, you know, and I would say to the sisters, when you see, if you see brothers chasing after those type of women that are not in the class that God came to set up himself, you say all praises due to Allah and mark that one person off of my list, because now you see what they want, right?
Right, you
don't.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Sister Michelle, as an MGT, as a woman, what are some of the things that we must have in place prior to courtship and prior to marriage? Sister Michelle?
I'm sorry. Like I said, I think that we as sisters need to work on developing a fineness and a love for ourselves, because I think it's challenging to attract someone who will accept us and love us if we don't love ourselves. I think that's the first step. A lot of times we're running away from who we are, and we're looking for someone to affirm us, to accept us, and to tell us we're beautiful and we're acceptable and we're adorable. And I think that that first step starts with us of doing the groundwork and laying a foundation to attract the FOI who is compatible with us. And I think I know it's challenging being an MGT and sometimes seeing our brothers who choose women outside of the faith. But our job is not to focus on what they're doing. Our job is to focus on developing a personal relationship with Allah. And Allah is going to deliver. Allah is going to fulfill our wishes. But our goal is to stay focused on the mission and stay focused on service. Allah is not incapable of making good men. Women are getting married all the time to wonderful brothers. So we should not get discouraged when we see some of our brothers who don't heed the advice of Brother Minister Farrakhan, who admonish us to marry within our faith.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask this, excuse me, because after being in the nation 47 years, I think I know. But I'm going to let them hear from somebody else. Student Minister Willie Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you define for us, in all clarity, what is the process of courtship? And I'm asking that question because I know it's been asked a million and one times, and you've probably gotten just as many answers, and I'm speaking to my audience when I say that. However, I want them to be clear about the expectations of courtship. So first, I want you to explain to us, what is the process of courtship itself?
Well, as of course, as we'll talk about the honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, the process that will give the brother and the sister the opportunity to investigate and to evaluate one another to see if this person meets the criteria or meets the criteria that they want in a spouse, right? In the way that the brother or sister then one in the mosque way is that go and inform the brother captain or the captain who will begin the process, or brother captain would approach the sister captain and let them know that this brother is interested in this sister. And they would ask that sister, is she interested in courting? If she says yes, then they will let her know who that brother is, and if she is willing to court that brother, then that courtship process begins. At that moment, the brother and the sister will begin to exchange, they would exchange telephone numbers and begin the process of courting. And as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, when you see people who are going to court, you have lawyers who examine people on the witness stand to ascertain the truth of their statements. So in the courtship process, it's now time for that brother or that sister to begin to ask questions to find out and get an assessment of that person's character, to find out what are their career goals, what are their aspirations, what are their dreams, what are their visions. What is their view on marriage? What is their view on raising children? What is their view on the role of the male, the role of the female? Well, we begin to start asking those questions to where it would allow us to get to a point where we would decide if this is the person I would like to spend the rest of my life with. And, of course, we're encouraged, and I want to say this and be very clear, we're encouraged, and we should. We're told that when we go on outings, it should be chaperoned, and preferably it should be chaperoned by an older couple. And in my courtship, I realized the value of that. It can be older couple in their age-wise, but it also can be couples who've been married who have some number of years under their belt. And what I've been, how that process has benefited me and my wife, when we were courting, we would go through with other couples who have been married 5, 10, or however many amount of years, and they will bring up questions that my wife and I may have not thought about. They will bring up questions or aspects for us to discuss that came out of their own experience in marriage, and we found it to be very beneficial. But one of the things that I've noticed that sometimes that we do is that we use, when people are courting, we use those couples, we rely on those couples to chaperone our courtship, but then when we get married, the process shouldn't stop. Meaning, of course, you don't need them to chaperone, but you should still have that couple that you can go to when you and your wife, you and your husband may not be on the same page, and they can help us to come to a common ground. Advice.
Okay, so now let me tell you what I've been told, oftentimes, and everybody's schedules and things like that vary. So what about the couples, Brother Willie, who really have a desire to court? They want to go about the courtship the correct way and say that they want to have an outing where they can be escorted by a married couple, older couple, whatever, and nobody has time. And I've heard this complaint many, many times, and oftentimes what happens in that situation is what's not supposed to happen during courtship. And then another thing I want to ask you about is I'm not going to call it dating, but courtship. You meet people on Facebook and Twitter, wherever you meet them at, and here come all these different kinds of relationships. So first I want you to speak to the availability of having a chaperone, and then if you would, I want you to speak to internet courtship, whatever you want to call it, and then I want to hear from Sister Michelle, if you don't mind.
Well, my wife can attest to this as well. When we first started courting, we ran into that difficulty because trying to schedule outings that will be right around the time where some people's schedule was available. And the thing that we did, sister, we just waited. It was trying, but I'm glad that we waited and we did it the right way. If it begins to be a problem like that, I would encourage someone to go to the laborers and let them know that we're having this difficulty, you know, or even try to set something up. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, go to the minister of the mosque and
exactly.
let him know that you all would like to be chaperoned. We had that problem, and I talked to the minister about it, and after a mosque meeting, he reminded the believers of their responsibility to be available and to chaperone us, to encourage us to have a holistic courtship. And, you know, just a reminder to the believers, here we have a young couple. This is a possible marriage that could possibly come out of this. Let's be a proper support and cultivate this courtship. And after he spoke with the believers, couples started asking us to come over for dinner. So I would say definitely use the resources. We talked on the telephone a while. I would say a good 3 weeks before we were able to go out on a date with another couple. But we patiently waited until we were able to get someone.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And what about the internet? Social media has given such accessibility to people. And, you know, to me personally, it's a fine line. You know, it's okay if you want to chat. You know, but then when we get the video chatting and things of that nature, it can really, really get wicked. So I'm going to ask you, through the minister, what about internet courtship, dating, whatever?
You know, the principles of courtship are still the same. I've encountered brothers who came across, they met a sister who in a nation from a different city via the internet. But the thing that
uh-huh.
you do, if you meet a brother or a sister that you see that you're interested in, the process is still the same. Find out what city she's from and get in contact with the captain there and express your intention and follow the process. So then after that, you all can still communicate using the social media in a righteous way to further communicate.
Yes, sir. And I wanted to get to the expectation because a lot of people, especially my sisters, and this is just based on my experience, so I don't want nobody jumping on me, we have a tendency to get emotionally involved very quickly, and that's the nature of a woman, I guess. However, you know, there seems to be a certain expectation of the brothers, and maybe vice versa. I don't know from the brother's side. There's an expectation, and I would hear some sisters say, well, this is my man, or that's my woman, or, you know, this is the brother. You know, of course, if you say I'm in courtship with this brother, okay, you're in courtship with him. But then they seem to take the relationship to a different level, and I want them to be clear about what courtship is, because it's an examination. It's an examination to determine whether or not you will go to the next level of actually saying, okay, this is a relationship. Because if you don't take the time to observe a person, then how can you really, really know if you really want to have a relationship with them? So I'm going to ask Sister Michelle first, for the sister side, how do you keep that barrier up from getting emotionally involved in doing the actual observation and investigation that is supposed to take place in courtship?
I'm sorry, I missed some of the question.
Well, I just want to know, how do you refrain from getting emotionally involved while you're in courtship that is supposed to be an observation, you know, and an examination of a person before you just get emotionally involved and, you know, thinking that, okay, I'm in this relationship? Because courtship is not a relationship. It's an examination, an observation. So how can women refrain from getting emotionally attached to mm-hmm. a brother in that process?
Well, I think to be honest, we have to get over the desperation. We just got to be honest.
Come on,
we got to get over being desperate for a relationship. But what I personally did, I went to Allah, and I told Allah, I want who you have in mind for me, because
yes,
you
ma'am.
Know me, you created me, and you know me best. So send him to me when I'm ready for him. And so the portions are going to come, but if we're patient and take our time, that's the key thing. To realize that every courtship will not result in a marriage. And so this is my brother. I am his sister. And we're going to get to know each other properly. And the beautiful thing about courtship to me, especially if we do it properly and avoid the intimacy, if the courtship does not work out, then that brother is free to go and maybe court by a good friend. Because we had a clean courtship. We did everything in decency and order, and it just didn't work out. Good brother, good sister, but he just wasn't the one that Allah had for me. So that's
right.
To me, that's the beauty of the courtship and trying to do it properly. And if we get too attached emotionally and lower our standard and what the messenger have given us, calling our court mates, our men, you know, That's not proper,
right.
You know. So, to me, that's the best thing. Do what Allah wants us to do. Find ourselves in decency and order. Asking Allah to guide us and help us to navigate through that courtship process, because it's very emotionally draining to get wrapped up into brothers who are really not committed to us.
Mm.
So, I would say take your time, because you want to protect yourself and you want to guard yourself, so when you do get to the one who Allah has for you, you have something to give. So often we're so drained by the time we get to a quality man. You know, we don't even know him.
Right?
We don't even know what's good
right.
for us anymore, because we're just spreading ourselves so easily, so quickly.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Okay, and Brother Willie, what about that? I mean, you know, what should a brother do when he hears or sees the signs that a sister is getting emotionally attached and stepping out of the realms of just an observation and an examination, but that she's getting emotionally involved in that process? And of course, a brother never wants to put himself in a position where he's damaging a sister emotionally or, you know, or anything like that. But how would he handle that aspect of a courtship?
You know, in my own courtship with my wife, I realized like that emotion comes into play even in this courtship. And when we begin to start finding ourselves, whether it be, because it's not only the sisters that can have that issue, it can be brothers as well. When we find ourselves beginning to be emotional, where emotion is clouding our logic, clouding our ability to reason and to evaluate, we need to slow down and stop and recognize that and find out what's causing us to get like that and begin to do what we need to pull ourselves back on the path. See, that's the time where we may need to, hey, let's go and set up a meeting with the minister or the brother and the sister captain or with a couple that we respect and discuss this and realize that, hey, I've gotten away from the examination. I'm getting caught up in this emotional feeling, you know?
Right. Okay, I want to open up the line for questions in a few minutes. So those of you who have questions, get your questions ready. Press 1 on your keypad if you want to ask a question. Those of you who are in the chat room, type in your question, and I will ask the question on your behalf. Okay, now I'm going to get to this one more thing about courtship. You know, we've often heard that we court for 90 days. But then, you know, now we say we court for 90 days and we make a decision on whether the relationship is going to go for. Then I guess there's a brief engagement or whatever, and we start to plan the wedding. Okay.
So,
what's the rule of thumb?
But that, but sister, I've never heard that we caught for 90 days. I've heard it's been from six months into a year, and so and so that's one. And you know what? My advice, and even when my wife and I were courting, you know, things were going right early on in the courtship. However, we both agreed that we will still take this the full time that's allowed, right? And that's the discussion. That's what I personally encourage other people to do as well. Take the time. If it's working out, you know, if it's looking like it's going to be, you all are going to get married, there's no need to rush. Still utilize the time, because you never know. You know, utilize the rest of the time to go back and see if there's anything that we may have missed.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna get off courtship. I'm gonna ask one more thing on the behalf of the sisters, Sister Michelle. What are the basic do's and don'ts in courtship?
In courtship, I would say find a chaperone couple. Find couples that you respect and look up to. I would say at all costs avoid intimacy. I would say adhere to the courtship guidelines that have been given us. Take your time, like my husband said, and enjoy the process, and be honest. I would make that a number one rule. Ask that you come to the courtship being honest, and ask that your courtmate come as well. If it's working out, it's working out. If it's not, it's not. But come being transparent and sincere.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and Brother Willie?
And, you know,
do's and don'ts.
One, as my wife, I would say this. Don't pretend to be someone or something you're not, right? Because if you're doing that, then you're not really giving the person an opportunity to really see who you really are. And you want them to be able to accept you for who you really are. Also, don't ignore what you're seeing. Sometimes, you know, that's like when you're driving somewhere and they say, you see a sign that says in 5 miles, take exit 23B. When we're in these courses, we see signs that says, oh, something is wrong with that. But if we get too emotional and that fear of the courtship not being successful, we ignore it or we don't try discussion about what we are seeing. And as a result of that, we end up ignoring something that we really know that we can't tolerate, that grows from, as the minister says, with Satan. Satan was a snake in the beginning of the book of Genesis, and by the time of Revelation, it was a dragon. So be honest. And be upfront about everything, and don't be afraid to bring up, ask the tough questions.
Yes, sir. Okay. And I want to talk about love, because how can I put it? The term love is used so very loosely today, and for me, with the FOI, I love my brothers. So, in my opinion, there's supposed to be a brotherly, sisterly love already between believers, just off the muscle, just at the door. It's that you're supposed to have that love and that respect for your brotherhood and your sisterhood as well. But now, in the courtship, sometimes women have a tendency to get more emotionally involved, and like you said, maybe that situation may also occur with the brothers. And so now, you know, where does love come in? Because I know you can't determine when you love somebody. If you love somebody, you love them. There's no particular time or whatever. But I've had sisters shockingly tell me, well, you know, when I married my husband, I wasn't in love with him. He was a good brother. We had a good courtship. I had to learn to love him. Isn't that not a dangerous game to play, to see if you might love somebody later on down the line? What you think, Brother Willie?
You know, just like, you know, none of us can like one time, you know, some people actually have this love at first sight. You know, sometimes that is real for people. But what I was saying is we don't really know if love a person until we've been tried, right? So when people begin to be into courtship, you may begin to develop intense feelings for that person, but we never know that we really love them until we begin to start seeing, you know, when you're courting and then you begin to be married, you begin to start seeing the good and the bad about a person. So until our commitment to one another is really tried and we've successfully passed the test, that's when we begin to start realizing that that we have this thing called love. But love is something that the Elemental Lewis Farrakhan said that is duty, you know, and that's what produces love. But it is something that grows and develops. But some people may get it faster than others. Some people may not. But we know for one thing that if we are married and then we're divorced within a month or two after, then what we were saying about what we was love was not really love, because love endures.
That's right. Yes, sir. Okay. So do you suggest that if you are 30 days out from your wedding and the only thing that you can look in the mirror and honestly say to yourself that you are highly fond of the sister, but you can't look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love her, should you get married?
That's a personal decision that someone has to make. You know, we can't lie to ourselves. And whatever that question is, when we ask ourselves that question, we know how we feel, and we should just communicate what we feel. See, remember, this whole concept of love that we've been given has been given to us is a corrupted understanding that has been given to us by the world. And remember, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the minister that love is based upon the principles of freedom, justice, and equality. So it's based upon duty. You know, so, and the minister said that as we begin to, the longer we're together, our love begins to take on different forms and grows deeper. Of course, the way we feel about one another early on in the courtship and a marriage is not going to be how we feel about one another the longer we're together. So that's a personal question that somebody would have to ask.
Okay. And what about you, Sister Michelle? How do you feel about the love aspect of a relationship coming out of courtship and going into marriage? Once, you know, if they decide, okay, the courtship was successful, now we're going into marriage, should love be in existence before they get to the altar?
I think it's a challenge for you to totally love a person prior to a marriage in a six-month courtship, a three-month courtship, because it takes time, you know, to try a person, to go through struggles with a person. That's really what develops love, you know, when you've gone through something with someone, when you've struggled with something, you know, struggled with your mate. And I do think we have a very Eurocentric perspective on love. We're looking for the warm and fuzzy, the butterflies, you know, the TV version of love, when that's really not what is going to sustain us in those trying times. And there are studies that show that arranged marriages tend to last longer than relationships where people have been in, you know, they've been in relationships for years. So it's not just about this emotional high that we're getting, that tingle, you know, when we see that person, when the flesh, you know, rises up. So I think we do have to be careful of that emotional high a lot of us get in this society.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a lot of people online and a lot of people in the chat room. So if you have a question, press 1 on your keypad. And if you have a question in the chat room, type it in and we'll ask the question on your behalf. So I guess right now I must be asking all the right questions. I don't know. Okay, so let's get into faith, because the title of this show is Marriage and Faith. And as I stated when we opened, there's been so much of a struggle to keep our marriages together. And it almost appears, me being a 26-year marriage counselor, that when I sit with couples or when I talk to couples, everything is brought to the forefront except faith. They've done everything except practice the faith, how it's supposed to be practiced within the marriage. And it seems like Allah has been taken out of the equation. And so I'm going to ask about, compatibility in faith, Brother Willie, because I've had sisters say, well, my husband is not as spiritual as I am. So if I ask him, you know, let's study together. If I ask him, let's pray together, he's tired. It's not something he's interested in doing. But I want you to tell us, expound, if you would, on how important the practice of faith is in a marriage and how important that that couple has that compatibility of the practice of faith.
You know, there's a, you know, when people say that a family that prays together stays together. So it's very important for us to pray our faith, because remember, Allah says that before our duty to one another, our duty is to Him. Now,
yes, sir.
But what aspect that we may be good at practicing the most may differ from a husband and a wife. See, those are the type of questions that we need to discuss before we get married, right? And we hear what our court may say, but also see what they do. If you're courting a brother or a sister, you notice that they're never in study group. Shouldn't that give you a sign, right? Or if you're courting a brother and a sister, they may attend study group, but they never talk. So you should look at those particular things. But it is very important, because it's our faith that is going to further cement our relationships, that we're going to cement our marriage, right? So one of the things that when we begin, if we're married and we see this, it is very important that we begin to bring this to our spouse and communicate it to them in a way where they know this is very important to my wife or to my husband, that she wants us to, or he wants us to pray together, or he wants us to attend the meetings together, or he wants us to study together, or vice versa. We have to communicate that. And sometimes what I found out in my experience with marriage and helping, counseling others, there are a lot of expectations that we have for our spouses that we don't do a good job communicating, or we don't communicate them at all, but we still expect our spouse to fulfill an expectation we haven't really even helped them to understand that we desire.
Yes, sir. And Sister Michelle, how important is faith and the practice of faith and the compatibility, in your opinion?
I think it's very important. And I think, like my husband alluded to, it starts early in the courtship, deciding if this person is spiritually compatible with you, because the last thing you want to do is end up in a marriage with someone who doesn't believe like you do, you know, who doesn't accept the faith like you do, who may only accept a small component of the faith. You know, you don't want to get married to someone and then you're arguing about holidays, or you're discussing what we do not eat, or why shouldn't we eat this, you know. So I think it's real critical to, once again, lay a very strong foundation in that courtship and being very transparent about what you want, because faith is going to give you the foundation of your entire family.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And still, Minister Willie Muhammad, tell us, because I know we've heard this a million times, but tell us, why is marriage one half of our faith? And I ask that question because a lot of times we hang on to cliches, but we don't really understand
correct
what they mean. and
you
we
know,
don't
and that is,
know how to apply what we say.
You know, from my study of that statement that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan mentions often when he talks about marriage, you know, I've thought about it from this standpoint. How is marriage one half of our faith? You know, in marriage tests us to, it forces us to either increase in certain qualities or remove certain qualities from our personality. And if you notice, when it talks about faith, we're talking about our relationship with God. The same qualities and characteristics that a believer needs in order to become one with God is the same qualities and characteristics that a believer needs to be successful in marriage. You can't be selfish as a believer, and you can't be selfish in a marriage. You can't be hard-hearted and hard to practice the principle of forgiveness in our practice or our obedience to Allah, and be the same and be hard-hearted and our inability to also forgive in the marriage. It won't work. So if you look at the same qualities and characteristics that a person needs in a marriage, they also need it to be a believer. And marriage helps us to refine those practices of those principles. And marriage also helps us to develop the attributes that Allah has placed in us. And look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In addition to saying how Allah has made him and how the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has helped him in his development, he also credits his wife, Mother Khadija Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. And Sister Michelle, when you hear that statement, marriage is one half of our faith, what does that mean to you?
I would just add that marriage protects us. It protects us from adultery. It protects us from fornication and promiscuity, which is half the battle. You know, it's half the battle of just the restrictive law alone. So many of us spend so much time engaged in these negative, toxic relationships, and it makes it very difficult for us to work on being spiritually aligned and connected to Allah. So marriage, we're halfway there if we can indulge in a successful marriage and a marriage that is pleasing to Allah. So I would just add that.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, now I'm finna get in trouble. Okay, so, oh God, here we go. Okay, so we have the FOI for the MDT. I can't count how many times I've heard about brothers marrying sisters outside of the nation of Islam. Oftentimes I've heard sisters express their bitterness because they are in the mosque, they're paying their charities, they're going to class, they're attending study group, they're attending the meetings, they're paying Savior's Day gift, and they go unnoticed. But yet the brother will step outside of the mosque and he will select the lost found, and either one of two things. Either he'll bring her in and say, train her up, or either he'll marry her, and then there's a woman that he's married to that is not of his faith, that don't share his faith. So I'm going to ask you, Sister Michelle, does love supersede all things, including faith?
I don't think love supersedes all things, because faith is the foundation of everything. And so when love is gone, faith, we need our faith. But I would just like to say that to the sisters, I really believe and I emphasize strongly that we have got to stop focusing on our brothers, because I didn't come to Islam for a brother. I didn't join the mosque for a husband or a man, even though, of course, I wanted one. But I joined the mosque because I thought it was a wonderful way for me to connect with Allah, serve my community, you know, and empower myself. So if we focus on Allah, I grant you, Allah will grant us what we want in a husband. But if brothers or if we're asking Allah to give us a believer, and we see brothers who are going outside the mosque, is that the man we want? Is that the believer we want? Someone who is not attractive to a sister of like mind? So I'm not upset about that. I'm happy that Allah manifested that to me. So I think we have to look for the lesson in those types of situations. Not get angry, not get bitter, but stay focused on Allah. And I understand that it does bother us sometimes. But nonetheless, that's not the reason we came to Allah to begin with.
Right. Okay, so say for instance, because this has happened, and I've had mm-hmm. this discussion with sisters, this has happened. There's mm-hmm. a brother that you are attracted to, or whatever the case may be, interested in, whatever. And mm-hmm. he brings in a lost found. And mm-hmm. she comes in and begin processing. Now, they say the first thought come to their mind, oh, well, she's only doing it because of him. She's not coming to Islam for herself. She's coming to Islam for him. And as soon as things go awry, then she's gone. But in my opinion, what I always tell the sisters is that when you feel a brother bring in a sister, don't look at her as a potential threat, but look at her as a potential friend and sister. And because
that's right.
Even if she's coming in on behalf of the brother, if he fished her in under those auspices, we are supposed to illuminate the beauty of Islam so
right.
that Islam in itself can be attractive to her and not just because of the brother. So it's, you know, what about that approach? I mean, do you think the sisters are justified? Because some of them say, well, you know, I'm not going to even embrace the sister. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to befriend her. I don't want to do anything. But is that correct
I disagree with that approach. The minister has taught us that every sister is a potential Mary. So it doesn't matter that a brother brought her in. It does not matter. That is my sister. And once again, if we have faith in Allah and we have asked Allah to send us a man of the marrying kind, then why would I get mad because a brother I may have had an interest in or an attraction to brought another sister in? Again, I say stay focused on the mission, stay focused on Allah and the mission, and Allah will deliver. Allah made mountains.
Come on. Yes, ma'am.
So we have to stay rooted in that word. Now, I didn't worry about what the brothers were doing. I was concerned about my own spiritual development. I did not get caught up in it. I saw it. It's in every mosque. But we have no control
mm-hmm.
over that. We only have control over ourselves. In the development of ourselves and being the best women that we could be. And ultimately, we'll attract the man of the same mindset. But if we're getting angry and focusing on what the brothers are doing, then we're off the path.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's good teaching that, sister. Okay, and Brother Willie, what about, you know, it could go both ways. What if you got, and you know, the brothers, I can bear witness, the brothers go hard on the sisters when she thinks about looking at a lost found. It's almost like we going to get locked up and locked away. But, I mean, hey, I can bear witness. I did it the second time around. I'll never do it again.
and you know, the thing, sister,
they almost killed me.
But you know the thing is, brothers, if brothers are doing that, but they're still going out there chasing sisters outside of the mosque, and they're being hypocritical. The way brothers want to go hard is by filing the obligation of the Lord's Flower Constructions and say, find you a wife from out of the class that was set up by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? And the thing as it relates to what you were saying about how sisters react to a sister that's being brought in by a brother, you know, just imagine who would want to stand before Master Farah Muhammad and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and say, the reason why I was not sisterly to that sister is because a brother who I was interested in, not courting, who I was interested in, brought her to the mosque.
Uh-huh.
Who would think that we can stand before God and be justified saying that? So we need to, just as my wife and I think she said it, she said it so beautiful, focus on yourself. And because when you focus on yourself, if that brother is doing that, then that's a sign, that's the number one sign that that's not the brother that you wanted. You know?
Exactly.
So, you know,
and, dodged the bullet again.
That's
right.
He dodged a big bullet because, you know, with most of the, what I've seen with brothers who have not followed the minister's instructions, when I talk to them, they all say, man, I would encourage brothers not to do that. And see, with those brothers who have done that, and I've told them that they weren't honest. Because what they do is they get with these sisters, the sister get married, they're marrying, they think the sister comes in, she plays the role as an MGT for a while, but then she takes the headpiece off, well, I got him, I'm married, and now all of a sudden the brother is saying that he wants to divorce her because she's not a Muslim. So you could have avoided that if you would have did it the way that the messenger in our midst told us. This is the same way with Jesus when he had when the disciples were on the boat. They were fishing, and they were like, Jesus, we ain't catch enough fish. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side. So if we follow the man in our midst who's telling us how we should do it, we're going to be successful. And for those who don't follow it, they're going to get whatever comes to them. And then, hey, then they will know from their own that, man, I should follow the directions that were given to me by the messenger in our midst today.
Yes, sir. And, you know, well,
there are some couples of different religious persuasions that are doing well in their marriage and have been able to have a successful marriage by the grace of Allah for whatever reason.
Yes,
but it just makes it harder. It means you have to put in more work. So I wouldn't want to discourage anybody who may be in a marriage like that who is listening, but we have been given a directive to marry each other.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to keep my sisters encouraged, and particularly because I know that being single for a long time, or whether you've been married before and now you're divorced, and you've been divorced for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and you're in your 40s or whatever, and you're thinking that, you know, I'll never find anybody or whatever, I want you to remain encouraged and know that Allah is preparing someone for you. But when we get impatient and we start choosing, then that's when we make the mistake. So I want to encourage my sisters to stay rooted in your faith. And that is what's going to bring you a husband. When you start going to the mosque for all of the wrong reasons.
Exactly.
And when you start picking a man for all of the wrong reasons, because you lonely, it's been a long time, I'm tired of being by myself, I need somebody to look for, whatever the reasons are, when you start choosing for the wrong reasons, then the results of the marriage are going to be traumatic. And we are at a time right now where we're going to need each other more than we've ever needed one another before. And for those of you who are in the process of courtship or who have just gotten married, hold to your faith. Don't let the honeymoon phase go by and you stop forgetting how to pray together, or you stop referring to the Quran or to your elders or whatever to resolve your issues, because now the time is critical. So we're going to need to hold to one another. Yes, sir.
Let me add this as well. You know, some often as well, sisters make the mistake as giving these brothers who they're not courting too much access to them. in which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had warned about them, like in a study guide. He said, why are you smiling all in his face? What has he done to deserve your attention? And you have where now you hear brothers are conversating on the phone with sisters that they're not courting, you know, just having too much access to them. You know, if he's that serious about you, he should put a request in. If he's not, if that's not his intention, you don't need to be in, even in his face or discussing or talking about anything with him outside of discussing mosque related. And I close on this. One time Brother Jibril told me that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that Master Farah Muhammad has a mate for every sister in the Nation of Islam.
All right, y'all heard that, sister. Say that one more again, Brother Willie.
He said that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that Master Farah Muhammad has a mate for every sister that's in the Nation of Islam. Now, the question that we have to ask is, do we have the faith to believe in that statement? And as my wife was saying, if we're worrying about, well, how old I am and this and that, you know, then it's going to force us to make decisions in haste. But if we make Allah our number one focus, then it's going to draw the person that we're looking for, because he will see, if he wants Allah, he wants a woman that's serious about Allah, he'll find you.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. And we just had an influx of new people to join us. I want to remind you, if you have questions, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. I know some of y'all are just getting here. Press 1 on your keypad if you have a question. If you have one in the chat room, type it in. Okay, let's move on. I want to ask you, Sister Michelle, because, you know, this is just my opinion, so Brother Willie, don't jump on me. The women in particularly, to me, and this is just, like I said, my opinion, we have the bulk of the duty of holding our families and our marriages together. So I'm going to ask you, sister, in your opinion, how important is it to have a Muslim spouse, you know, a believing spouse? And how has it proven to be more beneficial in the marriage? Because we're still talking about the practice of faith.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so how important is that?
It's very important, because I think the more you have in common, the better it is. And that's why it's very critical in that courtship process to talk about everything. What do you want? What are your aspirations? What do you want for your children? How will we parent? Well, that was a critical discussion for my husband and I, because I know in the nation, parenting it falls heavily on the woman. But I want to make it very clear to my husband that I wanted someone who would co-parent with me, not just a financial provider. That's wonderful. But our children also need active parenting. So that was very critical for me to bring that out earlier on in the courtship before we move into the next phase, which is marriage, and having those common goals in our faith.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure if I answered the question.
Yes, ma'am, you did. You did. And Brother Willie?
It's you know, the scripture when it talks about, it says, be not eat unevenly yoked, right? You know, in Islam, in comparison to other faiths, we say that Islam is a religion, but because our people are familiar when you talk about God in that circumstance, but we are taught that Islam is a way of life. Islam affects what we eat, what we drink, what we listen to, what we watch, what we wear, you know, every aspect. And with other faiths in this day and time where Satan is really weakening other faith, you know, you want to have somebody that understands this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important, because like when you go into a shoe store, if let's just say you went in, you wouldn't leave out of an athletic shoe store with a Nike for your left foot and an Adidas for your right foot. No, you want matching shoes, right?
So we got to begin to start understanding it. And what sometimes is like, you know, I'm seeing, well, sometimes with some brothers will say, well, man, I don't mind if she don't believe as I believe, as long as she's just a good woman who believes in God. And brothers, some brothers will say that, but in the back of their mind, they're saying that, I'm going to make her a Muslim. And see, that's where we get in trouble. We don't make Muslims. Allah makes Muslims. You see what I'm saying? And we get in trouble thinking that we can make somebody a Muslim. With a mere fact, if we were that much on being a Muslim, we would have followed the instructions that have been given to us, right? So it's important when we have it, when you look at the MGT, why wouldn't you want an MGT? There were some brothers one time that came to our city to see the Essence Festival. And after the mosque meeting, it wasn't from out there, but they came to see it. And after the mosque meeting, I talked to him. I said, brother, I said, man, you ever went to a funeral? He said, yeah. I said, you ever went to a funeral? When you look in the casket, isn't that dead body, isn't it dressed nice? He's like, yeah. I said, you've never seen a body laying in the casket that just was dressed horribly. They always dress it up nice. And I told him, I said, but keep in mind when you go out to this event and you see all of these sisters. So you see their flesh, you see how they're dressed, and you think, oh, that's what I want. But you got to understand what the Mozambique Elijah Muhammad says, which represents life to us. Here you have sisters who have accepted this teaching, and to accept this teaching and to live this teaching in this day and time, meaning you have to be courageous and you have to have courage. And we have our sisters who are giving their life up at a time where the world is telling women to not dress and not cover themselves. We have sisters that are covering themselves. Why not select from that class, right, and do the examination to make sure that we can get someone good from out of that class?
Yes, sir. And, you know, I wanna speak on that a little bit for the brothers and the sisters because, you know, if a brother has a woman and she's not sacred to you, then you are lying to her, you are lying to God, and you are lying to yourself. Excuse me. And the reason why I say that is because if all her exposure to the public if she's open to the public, wide open, there's nothing sacred there for you. Everybody has laid eyes upon what is supposed to be yours. And that's why a lot of men end up disrespecting the woman when the relationship starts to get old. They reflect back to what she was when they met her, and they don't have any respect for her. And that's why it's important for our sisters to dress the way we were instructed to dress. Because you become sacred to that man. And no other man has the opportunity to lay eyes upon what is sacred to a man. Men are territorial. I'm going to have to say it. They are. They're very territorial about women. So if your breast is hanging out or your backside is hanging out and it's for everybody to view, there's nothing sacred about you. And it's sad to say that the man that you share your home and you share your bed with doesn't look at you that way. And if you don't have that kind of love from a man, then you are dishonoring yourself. So I want sisters, all my sisters, you know, whether you're Christian or whatever, that's for all of you to cover yourself because your bodies are sacred. And I just want to make that point. We're going to take this question. Area code 504, your mic is live if you have a question. Area code 504. It sounds like they're trying to say something. Area code 504, your mic is live. Going once, going twice. Okay. It sounds like they was trying to say something. Okay, we're going to move on. Okay, so I want to ask Brother Willie, when there's conflict, and I'm going to talk about some particular things. especially finances, because under Black Demographics, which is a website that I use to gather statistics about our communities in particularly, and then they have another site called Divorce 360 or something like that, 70% of our first marriages end in divorce. They say that the majority of the divorce is caused by finances. So when there is a conflict of finances, Brother Willie, how do you as a man deal with that?
You know, I've read some research on that statistic as well, and what some other people are saying, that the state of finances, those divorces are not because of the lack of, but because of the mismanagement of the finances that begins to cause trouble. Where sometimes the woman in the home may not even know about what's going on with the finances, or feel like a brother may feel like, but she doesn't need to have any input. See, that begins to start causing the problem of regarding finance. But you know, as simple as it sounds, it's really the truth. If we do it the way that we're being given, as we're being told, right, we can begin to start avoiding that. And when you begin to start seeing a man that wants to keep the woman in his life, in his home, in the dark as it relates to the finances, see, what that is an indicator of is a man that has an improper view of a woman. It's a sign of disrespect, right? And that's the real issue that needs to be addressed. And the whole thing with the money is really just a manifestation of an even greater problem.
Yes, sir. Okay, and Sister Michelle?
I can see how finances can begin to erode the fiber of a marriage. And I think it's really critical to set financial goals earlier on in your marriage and work to meet your goals. I don't think that our marriages have to necessarily break down with finances, though, if we're working together. When Willie and I first got married, we had comparable incomes, but we had a lot of goals for ourselves that we set out to accomplish. We worked hard together, we took some risks, and we went after our goals. After Katrina, we had our financial challenges because we lost just about everything, and we were back to square one after 7 years of marriage. And so, you know, once again, we started all over, you know, working again on our finances to rebuild. But I guess I know I have a partner who's dedicated to me and dedicated to my family, and I'm willing and he's willing to work through whatever challenges that we come across, whether it be finance or whatever, because marriage is very challenging.
Yes, ma'am. And so, you know, we do have some sisters who will say, well, men are the maintainers of women, and I want to stay at home, and I want to homeschool my children, and I want to be able to go to the beauty shop, and I want to be able to get my nails done, and he needs to be able to financially provide for that. However, sometimes, you know, there's a financial crunch. You know, he could, you know, if he has his own business might not be flowing the way he desires it. If he has a job, he could get laid off or fired or whatever. And so now we have this financial battle that we have to fight, and sometimes it's an uphill battle. And sometimes, you know, most sisters, and I like to be clear on that, most sisters do not have a problem working. However, there's a change of attitude oftentimes when the sister is making more money. Sometimes they get the big head and say, okay, you know, I'm bringing in the bulk of the money. So there's a different tone, a different atmosphere that is created there. And then we have some sisters that say, hey, you know what, I will help my husband in whatever capacity that I have to. If I have to work and if he can't find a job or whatever, I will do what I have to do. And I know to me that's the right attitude to take. But oftentimes the men begin to feel inadequate, so to speak, when they get to a period where there is some financial difficulty and maybe they can't contribute to the household the way that they should. And sometimes it interrupts his spirit and how he relates to his wife and even his children. So, Brother Willie, in that situation, how should a man deal with that?
No, for one, and I can understand that, you know, as we're taught that one of the aspects of the nature of the man is to be a provider. And no man will feel good not being able to provide for those who has been placed under his responsibility and leadership. So that is very difficult, not being able to provide for your family, food, shelter, and clothing. But one of the things that we can't do, we got to get out there and work. If it's out there selling fruit bags on the corner, we got to do whatever it is for us to alleviate that position. And when we do that, you know, in the scripture, it talks about how the woman is a helpmeet. And you will find many of the sisters will be there to support us. But as a man, we can't, as difficult as it is, we can't let it break us, you know, because it may be a dark period right now, but if we work and work, Allah will bless us to alleviate that situation.
Yes, sir. And Sister Michelle, how can the sisters not get gung-ho about that or not lose the respect and the security or the feeling of security in their husbands when that happens?
Again, I think we have to stay prayerful and faithful. And if you know you have a good man who has worked diligently to provide for you, when challenges come, you want to be there to support and encourage and be a helpmeet. That's the time to really dig in and encourage a man and let him know that you're there for him. That's not the time to become conflictual and critical and, you know, being negative with the put-downs and I'm earning the most money and, you know, just being really negative. That's very destructive for marriage, even though it is very challenging to go through a situation like that. But I would not advise anyone to destroy your marriage. Seek knowledge.
Yes, ma'am. And Brother Willie, let me ask you, because when a brother is preparing to get married, and I've had talk shows before, and they are saying that they need everything but Fort Knox before they get married in order to qualify to have a wife financially. So when it comes time to get married and you are taking on the responsibility of a wife, and, you know, if she has children, you're also taking on that responsibility. What kind of money are we really talking about? Set a budget to live within our means? Because do we talk about finances during the courtship, like how we handle money, how we spend money, what the expectations are when you get married? You know, how do we handle that?
Yeah, that is definitely supposed to be talked about in the courtship. And if we don't talk about it, we make a mistake, a grave mistake, or we make an error. And if you see people that's reluctant to talk about their finances, that's a warning sign. What is it that you're hiding? But in regards to those brothers who may feel like they need everything besides Fort Knox to get married, a lot of times as brothers putting on themselves greater a greater expectation than that's needed. You know, when
right.
you court that sister that you're courting, she mm-hmm. will let you know, you have this discussion, you all will get an idea of what type of lifestyle you all want to have. And if she wants this big extravagant lifestyle and you can't provide it, then that's not the one for you. But if you all come to an agreement, hey, this is what I can do, this is the type of means that I can provide, this is where I'm staying now, but this is my aspirations and my plans for the future, you will find, sisters, that if you have a plan and you are a man of your word, they'll be there to support you. And that's what even goes back to what the sisters are referred to in the scripture as a help meet.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay, and what about just general conflict? You know, finances is one, but it could be a number of things. You know, how do we deal with conflict? You know, we've had reports of abuse, be it verbal or physical. You know, we've had where, you know, okay, we are going to separate. We've had it where people are existing under the same house, I mean, under the same roof, but they are not, you know, they're sleeping in separate rooms and things of this nature. And then, you know, the children come into play, you know, and all of these kind of things. And it's almost like there's no guidance, there's no direction, there's no reference to the scriptures, and then an arbitrator. So how do we best deal with conflict? And I can't give you any scenarios because there are so, so many, anything from addiction to abuse we've encountered in these marriages. And so just in general, Brother Willie, if you would expound on the best way to deal with conflict in general.
You know, I'm going to take it right back to the courtship as well. That's a discussion. That's a discussion that we have with one another, and when we meet our courtmates' relatives, their mother, their father, and their friends, we should ask them, how does he respond when he gets angry? When he has a disagreement with his brother or with his sister, right? And also, that's why the album of Louis Farrakhan has introduced us to the technology of Dianetics. So those are some things that we can do in the courtship. But as it relates to in a marriage, you know, the word of God and the revelation that we have been given should be the standard, right? And there's a brother who I consider to be a mentor, and for me here in the city of New Orleans, he said something in one of our marriage panel discussions. He said, it's not about who is right, but what is right. And if we find ourselves get to a point where we are not on the same page, we're passionately holding on to our position, what my wife and I do is that there are other couples that we reach out to. And it's amazing how I may get a point that my wife has been trying to get me to see when I hear another brother who's married or one of my brother's wife, she may say it, or vice versa with my wife. You know, Allah in the Holy Quran talks about us bringing in a third party that's reliable. What happens oftentimes in our marriage is that we put ourselves on an island where we begin to start feeling that nobody else is going through what I'm going in my marriage. And when we do begin to start doing that, that conflict is going to wear us down when God has already placed people in our midst that if we humbled ourselves, went to Him, they will show us how we will find out that they experienced it and they overcame it, and we can benefit from their experience.
Yes, sir. And Sister Michelle, and you know, and I'm going to ask you from a woman's perspective, because oftentimes women get emotional, and a lot of times we react out
mm-hmm.
of emotion when certain things arise. And, you know, how do we get to a point or a place where we calm ourselves and we rise above emotion and we look at the logistics of how to best deal with conflict, and especially with men, because they you know, I heard this from a brother, so don't get mad at me. They say the most fragile thing in the universe is a male ego. I don't know how true that is, Brother Willie. Don't jump on me. I heard that from an FOI. So, you know, when it gets to that point and we respond emotionally, and, you know, our mouths, sister, our mouths cut like a knife. You know, that's the only defense we have. We cannot physically combat a brother. So our mouths become that lethal weapon, and words can cut and they can kill and they can hurt. So how do we get to a place to be more logical and less emotional?
Oh, it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge for most sisters in relationships. But one of the things that I recently did, I had to, you withdraw from the situation and maybe send a text message, maybe communicate in writing, you know, because then you're away from the situation. You're not going back and forth with this improper communication, this emotionalism. So sometimes it helps if you, and I talked to another sister recently, and she told me she did the same thing, and it was very helpful for her to just type her husband a long email away from the hostile energy, because it can get very emotional. Also, I wanted to mention we're dealing with conflict. You know, with Willie and I, we had quite a few couples that chaperoned us. And so those were the same people that we often reached back to ask them, how did you deal with situation? How would you deal with this situation? These are people you trust. These are people who support you. A lot of times we forget about them once we get into the marriage. But the married couples in our community are great support if we're willing to communicate and, like my husband said, get off the island. Also, we have a network of sisters here. There's a sister here who's over our marriage ministry, which is an awesome support for all of the married couples who participate. And so oftentimes sisters, brothers could throw a topic in the head of what they would like to discuss. It could be conflict. It could be sex. It could be anything. Anything that strengthens our marriages. So find a support system that will help you when you're going through conflict.
Yes, ma'am. And I also want to add, you know, sometimes we can't be so fickle about religion. I always want to pay respect to our elders, because sometimes, whether you're Muslim, you're Christian, you're Buddhist, you're Hindu, whatever, sometimes some of the things that take place in marriage is very commonplace across the board. And I want us to really start utilizing our elders, because that is knowledge and wisdom that is going out of the window.
Yes.
That we do not tap into. Our elders have been through things that you probably could never even imagine. And they are here, you know, stored up knowledge and wisdom for us to access. So please utilize your elders. You know, don't go, and I don't care what nobody say. You know, yes, there's a sisterhood amongst the MGT. I love you all. Me personally, I would never talk to a peer about things in my marriage unless they were a professional or something like that. Because, you know, when people know too much about your business, there's no guarantee that there's any security in that. And you have to stop talking bitter towards your spouses. That's I hear a lot of that. You know, when you're bitter at your spouse for whatever reason and you go amongst the sisterhood, and I'm not saying the sisters are not sisterly. I'm not at all saying that. All I'm saying is that don't hold a conversation with somebody that can't help you. because you're just really wasting your time. Hold a conversation with somebody that can help you resolve your issue and someone that is encouraging you to stay in your marriage if it's safe for you to stay in your marriage. Now, if he's hitting you upside your head, you got two black eyes and four broken teeth, and they're trying to tell you to stay, I'd seek other advice. But if it's something that can be handled, something that can be preyed upon, you know, get with those people, because oftentimes there's a lot of negative feedback from your peers, and you never know what the motivation is. So I always refer to the elders because they have the experience, and they will teach you out of love, and they will teach you out of consideration for you, and they genuinely want your happiness because they have no reason not to want you to be happy. So I just want to use that as a reminder. Okay, I'm sorry, I was getting a message. Okay, and we're going to go ahead and take a question. Area code 856. Your mic is live. Area code 856.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Can you identify yourself for us?
This is Brother Walter Muhammad from Philadelphia. I just wanted to call and say thank you very much, Sister Gidget, and your panelists, Brother Billy and wife, Sister Michelle, is it?
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. Praise you to Allah. I was just listening to the beautiful comments and things that were made, and I just wanted to ask a question and a comment as well. Why is it so difficult for us to, as believers and Muslims, to seek counsel during our times of difficulty in marriage outside of, you know, maybe the scriptures and deal with people? And I just thought that was beautiful advice, Sister Michelle, about how, you know, those who you have trusted throughout the years and those who have witnessed your, you know, marriage and wedding to seek counsel with. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Brother Walter. Thank you for calling in. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
What are you saying? Why is it so hard? You know, and it's that pride. You know, humble ourselves and understand what, you know, what Allah does is until we humble ourselves, whatever we are dealing with is going to crush us. So the scripture says what? Pride goes before what? Destruction. We have to humble ourselves. And what I always think about that helps me is that I want to save my family. I want to have a successful marriage, because a lot of people are quick to tell us, Minister Farrakhan said we have to do this. Minister Farrakhan said believers need to be doing this. But I don't hear a lot of people talk about how Minister Farrakhan said he wants successful marriages in the Nation of Islam. You
That's
ever
right.
see in the boxing, when you see in the box a boxing match, you have a fighter that's out there fighting, and then when that bell hits, he goes back to the corner and he gets patched up. Well, they're giving him advice. And we have to do the same as well. There are people, and, you know, there are some people who may can't hold water on their tongues. One of those people who can trust before, and they will keep what you said to them in great confidence and talk to them. And I think all of us know one or two or even more couples that we have in our minds that can do that, or even in our family. They don't always have to be Muslim as well.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And Sister Michelle, did you want to expound on Brother Walter's question?
No, ma'am, I didn't. I think Willie
touched
on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So now let me ask you, because I want to cover this before we go, and somebody going to kill me if I don't get it in. I don't know about your particular situation, Brother Will and Sister Michelle, but how do we best deal with the blended family? Now, we have two issues on the table. You have a sister who was, I'm going to make sure I get the scenario right because he told me. Okay, a sister who had a child when she was a lost found. She's now Muslim. The child still has an active relationship with the father who is non-Muslim. So the child is between the two faiths. Now she's married to an FOI, and the household is that of a Muslim household. And so the child who still can go and visit his father and other peers who are non-Muslim, there's often issues with this child and his behavior and his dietary practices because of the exposure to the other family. So that's one scenario I wanted to ask y'all about. So how would you best advise that brother who's going through that situation, Brother Willie?
You know, blended families, it can be a challenge and also, but it's beautiful as well. I would say, one, you know, there are people who have written tons and tons of books about blended families and aspects about even dealing with religious conflicts and stuff like that. So I would tell that brother, one, go and get information on it. Two, look for brothers and sisters in the mouth who are married, who are blended families, who are successful examples of it, and talk to them about their experience because they may have dealt with that. And, you know, when it's kind of difficult, if this sister already had a child before she married this brother and the brother is still involved in that child's life, you know, you have to have the opportunity to sit down in a civil manner and begin to form, trying to get some level of understanding, right? And like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that when we are in blended families, we should not, as brothers, try to, even as sisters, well, we're trying to take the love that a child, like we're trying to replace ourselves in the lives of that child, of their biological parent, right? But in regards to those blended families, that's what I would add because I don't have that experience, but I would say talk to people who have that experience and do some research, and you'll be amazed how many wealth of good articles or information that you can find about that.
Yes, sir. Okay, and Sister Michelle, your opinion of that scenario?
I would say for the child who's dealing with struggling with the dietary law, that I would suggest getting the child information about the dietary requirements that we have and why we eat the way that we eat. I know my youngest daughter, who was adopted, she was very resistant to the way we eat, and it took her a while to get acclimated. But as I begin to find literature and educate her about food, how food nourishes the body, and how food can destroy the body, and also finding videos of different experiments that are done with food, that helped her to better accept how we eat was very helpful. And when I think about blended relationships, of course, Will and I don't have that experience because we were single when we got married, but I have seen where a lot of couples who come to the marriage with children already, they tend to exclude the children from the relationship until it's time to get married. And I think that makes it even, it makes it even more challenging. If you're trying to blend the family, and of course you want to be cautious of introducing somebody to your children or having a lot of men around your children or women around your children too. So, of course, you want to be cautious of that. But I think it's really important that they get to know this person before you decide he or she is going to be a definitive part of their life. I think it would be very helpful.
So let me ask you a question. In your opinion, I'm going to ask both of you this real quickly. Mm-hmm. Because this brother is really struggling the child involved is 9 years old, and I know he's listening, and I want to try to give him some definitive answers. The child is 9 years old. The mother is Muslim. She's been Muslim for a few years, and the dietary laws of the Nation of Islam are practiced in the home. She is the primary caretaker of the child. Should there have been a discussion with the father of the child about the dietary laws prior to marriage? Because what is happening that is irritating both of them so is that, of course, they frequent restaurants, of course, that we don't eat at, and the sister is saying that the brother is being malicious in doing it, but they, you know, he always makes it a point to feed them ham or pork chops or something like that on the weekend when he's there. You know, never chicken or something, you know, that we eat or whatever. It's always a point made to feed him pork when he's there. So should that conversation have taken place prior to, and, you know, because a child, I guess, I don't know, I'm not going to say and I'm not going to insinuate that the child's being forced to eat it, but I guess the child is just eating what's put before him or, you know, so how should that have taken place in the beginning, and I don't know what they could do about it now. I mean, that's kind of up in the air, but I'm going to ask you, Brother Willie.
You know, the fact, but like my wife said, if you have children and you're caught, you have to begin to discuss every aspect. You know, now in regards with this situation, I'm just saying, I'm asking myself, if I was in it, you know, what you can tell the other parent not to feed them this, not to feed the child that, but when they go to the home, you're not there. And I would say, just like my wife said, when that child comes back, you know, in the home where you are, this is what we eat. So you know they're not going to be eating things in which we don't eat. But also, when that child is with you, begin to teach the child about why we don't eat it. Look for creative ways to begin to start teaching them. And I'll tell you, and when children begin to start seeing, because this is in our nature, none of us wants to do stuff that's going to be harmful to us. If we do a good job of teaching that child why we shouldn't eat this, not just saying don't eat pork because we shouldn't eat it, but really, really teach them. And before you know it, the seed is going to pop up. And when they go over there, they will say, Daddy, I don't want to eat this.
Right.
And if it gets to that point where the child is telling the father that I don't want to eat this, and the father is still trying to make the child eat something, then they all need to come together and sit down and have a talk, you know. Because I know with situations like this, it's hard for us to give pinpoint advice because we don't know all of the story, and nothing is always as black and white as we make it.
Right. And then another situation that I promised I would ask in the mosque, because there is a bitterness sometimes when, a couple have been married in the mosque, they might have 2 or 3 children, they might not have any children, and in the next year or so after the divorce, the brother marries another sister in the mosque. And that sister goes to the mosque, you know, amongst the ex-spouse and the, you know, and the current spouse. And there's a rift in the relationship between the two sisters. How do we deal with that when we are in the mosque and we are there with our ex-spouses and the new mate? Brother Willie?
You know, that's tough. But, you know, sister, a lot of this stuff all goes back to the whatever work we did in the beginning determines how it's going to end, right? So this is even more reason, this is why we really need to do the proper work in building the foundation. When you see people building houses, most of the money is spent on making sure that the foundation is proper. Because you can have a luxury home, but if the foundation is not as uneven, then it takes away from the home. So that's one of the reasons why we have to do this. And in regards to, when you think about this, we have been given the atonement process that we say is divinely inspired through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
So how is it that we as believers can have this process and know all that we know and the enemy that we're facing against, and yet we still have these type of toxic relationships and beefs with one another in the mind? It's because it's dealing with affairs of the heart. You know, if the marriage has ended, and we have to let it go. Now, if there's some injustices still taking place, then we have to. But if somebody has moved on and you go to divorce, at some point you got to move forward, right? Begin to sit down and find out what's the real issue, what's really going on.
Yes, sir. And in your opinion, Sister Michelle?
I agree. I think that the ties have to be severed. And I know for women, a lot of times it's very difficult. I've heard sisters talk about that. And some sisters have said somebody has got to go, you know, because it's very challenging. You know, and we're a small mind. Most of our minds are very small. And if we divorce, we know that most of us are going to remarry, and we're going to remarry somebody in our mind. So we have a decision to make if we cannot stay in the same mind with our ex-spouse and be civil. We have to decide, do I want to move to another city or do I want to stay? And if we decide to stay, then we have an obligation to be civil with each other. Particularly if we have children, it's very critical that we try to make our children secure. It's already a very disruptive experience for children to have to go through divorce and then to have to go through parents who are in conflict after the marriage is even more challenging.
And I will say this, and it goes back to another thing. If you are courting and you know, former spouses should be have some. I'm not saying they should be talked to at some point in time. And the Honorable Minister Lord Farrakhan said that if you're courting someone who was divorced first one time, two times, whatever, you should take some time out and say, you know, respectfully, I would like to talk to your former spouse and find out what went wrong, because you'll learn something also about the person. Then you may learn, you know, well. You may learn that, hey, I'm married to somebody who the former spouse may tell you that my ex-wife was awesome. I just was a horrible husband. But this is why we have to, in courtship, we have to try to cover every base, and that's one of them.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I also want to tell sisters in particularly, I don't know about brothers who harbor resentment, but I'm going to tell you, sisters, who do that, you are so much cheating yourself, because the longer you hang on to what's already gone, the longer you deprive yourself of opening your mind and your heart to someone else. So if it's at a point where you already divorced and he gets remarried, you need to move on. It's as simple as that. You don't have to go through all these changes, harboring resentment. I don't want to look at him and her together. Even if you didn't want the divorce and he left you, you have to move on. Your life has to go forward. You cannot be stagnated in one place. And that is a good time to practice rising above emotion, because as long as you're harboring that and hanging on to that, you're going to be stuck right there in that place. Nobody's going to be able to gravitate towards you because you wear it like a mask. So if you trust in Allah that he is going to be sufficient for you, then that was probably removed to get what Allah has for you. So all of that harboring resentment is a waste of energy. And I have some questions out of the chat room that I promise I will ask. And this is from someone who calls themselves Two Best Friends. They said that... Oh, goodness, where's the question? Do you think that a divorced single mother's role changes after the breakup of a marriage? Brother Willie?
Do you think that a divorced single mother's role changes after the breakup of a marriage? No, the mother's
right,
role.
Right, because it says
no.
that she said, "Do you think that the male side can dominate if she is forced to fill both roles?" In other words,
definitely. Well, I have read this book talking about that, and you know what begins to happen. We see it with I saw it with my mother and other single mothers, and they're raising children by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The masculine side of themselves begin to develop more because it's needed in order to be successful in that environment. You know, but then when a man comes back into your life, and if that man shows that he's capable and qualified, then you will find women not having to rely on that side of themselves.
Yes, sir. And Sister Michelle, your opinion?
I think that there is a tendency to happen where that male side can become dominant because the mother is trying to compensate for that loss. However, I think what needs to happen is that you have to get the village involved in helping you to rear your children, particularly sons. Because
yes, ma'am.
You cannot be a man. And that's where the uncles come in, the brothers, the nephews, the men in the community, the mentors. That's where they come in because you need, as a woman, you need support. So that would be my answer, to seek resources.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what I would say, too, sister. I was divorced when my children were still, well, they were almost grown, but still, I always pay homage to Brother Derek Muhammad, Brother Eric Muhammad, Student Minister Robert Muhammad, Brother Mitchell Muhammad, Brother Erail Muhammad, all of them who stepped in and took on the role as uncles to my children. I didn't have to separate from my femininity to try to raise my sons. The FOI stepped in and did all that I could not do as a mother because I was not going to step out of my place when my sons call themselves getting out of place. The FOI was there. The SHAPE Community Center in Houston, Texas was there. And so please don't hesitate to turn to the brotherhood for advice, even for your daughters, because a daughter knows, even from a baby, that there's another entity of parenting. And so there becomes a dysfunction when a male parent is not around. So it's not just for your sons, but also for your daughters, because they need that example in a man so that when it comes time for them to choose a man, they will have an example to choose from. So, sister, my suggestion, and Brother Willie and Sister Michelle's suggestion is the same. Turn to the fruit, you know, get with your sister captain, ask the lieutenants to ask the brothers to assist you if you need assistance in that area. And we are out of time, and I think I told you, Brother Willow, we might not have gotten to all of the questions, but there are so many people on the phone. I hope the problem was people couldn't get through. I got a couple of messages, about four of them saying that the lines were busy, so that means that they overhauled, and maybe that's why a lot of them couldn't ask questions. But thank all of you who have joined us in the chat room, and all of you who have joined us online. Thank you so much, Sister Michelle and Brother Willie.
Yeah.
Please, you know, I have a rule about this show. Now, you can come on one time, but you can't just come on one time. So at some point, you're going to have to come back, and we are so honored and so blessed to have you and such a wonderful, wonderful wealth of information that you provided to us. So thank you, and please extend the greetings to the believers in New Orleans, Louisiana. From
thank you,
Sister Angela Muhammad and Miles 45.
Thank you, sister.
I sound
late.
Well, okay, before we go, I want to remind everyone about the June 1st deadline for your auditions in the movie Steps of a Mastermind that's going to be filmed in Chicago in August. And I also want to direct you to stopentertainment.com. Excuse me. which is hosted by Albert Briscoe. He is doing a summer reading program for black males. Please support if you can. He is trying to buy 150 books for black males to read over the summer to keep them out of the streets. So if you go to Stomp, S-T-O-M-P, Entertainment, E-N-T, .com, it's stompemt.com, and get with Albert Briscoe to make your donations to help buy those books. And for those of you who want to audition for the movie, email me at Y as in yo-yo, G as in girl, B as in boy, live at gmail.com, and send me your MP3 or the link to your YouTube video. Thank all of you so much for joining us. I leave you as I came before you, and I greet in words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Yeah, let me call my husband.
Oh.